Welcome to A Taste Of, a program brought to you by the International School of Languages, looking at different languages and examining the culture and getting a little bit of an understanding about them. Today we have Arabic and we have Dr. Ali with us. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you.
And we're going to look a little bit and understand more about Arabic language and the culture and how to do business with Arabs and how to understand more. So Ali, can you give us a little bit of an overview of the Arabic language? What is Arabic when I talk to you about Arabic? Because I believe there are lots of different types of Arabic, aren't there?
Yes. First of all, normally when we start, we say Bismillah.
Bismillah?
Bismillah, by the name of God.
Okay.
So let me start by this way. And Arabic language, or we call it Al-Arabiya, is a central Semitic language, thus related to and classified alongside other Semitic languages.
So Semitic being that it is you've got all the configurations, you've got all the signs, don't
yes.
you?
Such as Hebrew and Aramaic. At the early time. In terms of speakers, Arabic is the largest member of Semitic language family. It is spoken by more than 280 million as a first language and about 250 million as a second language. And most of the native speakers live in the Middle East and North Africa. Standard Arabic is widely taught in schools, universities, and used in official and the media as well.
So, Ali, when we look at standard Arabic, this is what we would learn at the school?
Yes, because other Arabic, or what you have mentioned at the beginning as different Arabic, it's just a delicate. It's not Arabic. I mean, the right Arabic or the proper Arabic, because it's the scientific Arabic, which is the same for all Arab. But how they communicate between each other from country to others within the same country, that's a delicate. It's not written.
Okay, so
the written Arabic, it's the scientific Arabic, which is all over the world. It's the same.
So if I wanted to learn Arabic and I spoke in the same way that you said the scientific Arabic is, I'll be fine.
Yes, for sure. And you can be understandable from all the Arab people all over the world.
So it's different dialects.
Different dialects. For example, the dialects, we have an Egyptian Arabic, which is spoken by Egypt. And there are about 76 million. And there's Gulf Arabic, which is in the Gulf area. They have their own dialect. There is Iraq Arabic, which is also spoken with Iraq people. There is in Maghreb Arabic, which is the Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, and Libya. But even though between these countries, they are classified as Maghreb Arabic, but each country, they have their own dialect. For example, you find the Arabic, which is spoken by Libyan people, it's more close to the scientific Arabic. When you look into other, for example, Tunisian or Moroccan or Algerian, it's become sometimes when you speak to Algerian, Arab or Moroccan especially, you find some difficulty to understand.
Even for you, Ali?
Sometimes, not all the words. No, we can communicate.
Okay.
No, I can understand, but there's some words, they are a bit difficult.
So it would be the specific language use according to the country.
And yes, it's a delicate, not language. We say a delicate. The Arab language, let us generalize the proper Arabic language. It is the Quran language.
Yes.
So the Islam came with the Arab language, which is the real Arabic language to all nations. That's okay. How it is.
It is the commonality of...
Yes, yes.
Okay. So when we look at Arabic language, you have the script that's different. You have the way you read it different,
yes,
don't you?
I mean, for example, in Arabic, there is 28 alphabet. So A, B, C. Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, Jim.
So these are the consonants.
So you have A, B, C, D.
No.
You can, but the translation sometimes it's not the same. But when you say A, so Alf, which is A, then there is some other pronunciation. When you say A, which is, then you say O, E, so within the same.
Well, the same word.
You have different pronunciations.
Vocalities. Yes. Different vocalities.
Different vocalities.
You think that Maltese find it easy to learn Arabic?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, Maltese language, in the references, is classified as an Arabic language, but it's the only language they are writing in Latin
in
alphabet. It's
yes.
not in Arabic words, but it's classified one of the Arabic language.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we're just talking now, weren't we? And you were understanding. You can speak Maltese perfectly,
yes,
can't you now?
Not perfectly, but I can understand.
So, and that's one of the reasons why, because of this commonality between,
yes.
For us Maltese to learn Arabic, it's quite easy. As a matter of fact, I find that I can speak Arabic quite well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the writing and understanding the words, because you have no vowels then, mm-hmm. you've got... The vowels, aren't they just the signs at the top, at the bottom?
Yes, yes. For example, no, sometimes, for example, when you say E, so there is an alif, and there's next to E, like Y. So you have two alphabets. It's not only one. But sometimes you say ba, b, pu. So ba, it's one. B, from there's one dot and from
slash
from underneath. Bo, it's like...
it's like a loop, isn't it?
A loop from the top. So the
what I found very difficult when I was learning a bit of Arabic was that you leave them out when you actually write, and then sometimes...
it's not supposed to be. The new generation, or this is something which is we use in our daily work. So just to write it very quickly, you don't write with this, what you
with
call
the
it?
Vowels, of course.
Vowels, for example, A, E, O or something. So something is a babon. So you say just B, Alif, and Ba, without any vowels. So you because we know it, but for
us who are learning
for
the
people
language.
They want to learn the language, they must start writing it from the beginning so they will know what is it.
The vocabulary.
Yes, exactly.
You build up your vocabulary, mm-hmm. and then after you've built up your vocabulary, then it's quite easy. Mm-hmm. But the structure of the language is quite easy as a whole, isn't it?
It's not that difficult. I mean, it is like any other language, but I'm not going to say it's an easy language because the grammar is more difficult than English.
Yes.
And then even myself, if you ask me in Arabic grammar, for sure, I don't know all of it.
Okay, but I think we'd be fine with just talking it and being
to
communicate without knowing all the grammar, hey?
Yeah, I mean, even, for example, for everybody when they want to learn, especially if you want to use it for a business or when you travel or when you work in other country, for example, if you Arabic speaking.
Which are a lot of Maltese.
I mean, or even, for example, if you want to learn English and you go to other country to speak English, so sometimes you speak the language, but you cannot write it properly.
And that would be fine for a businessman?
For a business, for sure, more than fine, I mean. But still, for example, there are some people, they can study. For example, I know some people here at the University of Malta, they do a degree in Arabic.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, they do master and PhDs as well.
Yes.
So those.
But the motivation, I suppose, then is different, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But let's say I just want to go to Libya and I want to do some business with some people out there. I don't need to know.
No, in that case, just you need only a general Arabic course. I mean, I don't know, for example, let us say for 6 months, it's more than enough, especially for Maltese.
That's maybe fantastic.
For other countries, for English speaking, English people, or Italian, or German.
We already have the foundations.
But Maltese, I mean, the PESC, for example, we say, كيف حالك? I'm saying it in a proper scientific Arabic.
Okay.
In Maltese, they say, كيف انت?
So كيف, again?
كيف حالك?
كيف حالك?
كيف انت, so it is...
Yes, it's similar, especially the كيف.
So...
I know you have شكراً, which is thank you.
Okay, شكراً is a bit different.
It's different.
But شسمك.
Exactly.
ما اسمك.
ما اسمك.
In Maltese, شسمك. ما اسمك. So, it's... كم عندك زمان, you say it in Maltese. We say, كم عمرك.
كم عمرك.
So when you say it, زمان, it is, we knew, زمان, it's
time
in Arabic. زمان, it's time in Arabic.
Okay.
So it's close. I mean, for a Maltese people, it's easy to understand Arabic if they...
Yes, we've had some Arab students at the school who have learned some Maltese, so...
That's good.
That has happened too, and they find it quite easy too. So let's go back to Arabic and the culture. If I had to ask you, what is a typical Arab culture? If I, you know, I throw the question at you, I know, Ali, it's not very fair because you have such a vast repertoire there of all these people from all these different nationalities. Mm. But what is typical Arabic to you?
The typical Arabic to me... It is, I mean, who live a simple life within the family. I mean, the culture, you find all the family live together, share everything, and even sometimes the village, for example, let us say, we talk about occasions which happen within every village. When there is a wedding, so you find all the people, even if they are not invited, they are helping there. They help each other.
And it's okay.
So it's okay. It's accepted. And you find people, they are start preparing for their wedding, and they knew their relatives and their friends from the village. They will help them.
That in European culture comes across sometimes as interfering.
No, it's not. For us, it's accepted and appreciated.
Okay.
I mean, that's how, I mean, it's Arab culture and it is, let us say it, Islam, what do you call it?
Can try Maltese.
I try to find it in English. I mean, that's how the teaching of Islam, and I'm not saying the rules, but what the religion...
To share.
What you, even your religion, in all religions, they're the same.
They are, yes, it's
but
true.
But now, there are people, maybe they are modifying it a bit, but...
In Islam, you find a lot of difference to the Roman Catholic.
For example, even in other religion, you have, for example, to help your neighbor and to take care of it.
Yes.
Of him. So it is the same. So that's what I like in Arab culture. It is everybody together. When you are happy and when you are sad. For example, during the funeral
okay.
The funeral on this occasion. But for the first 3 days, you don't prepare any food at your home. And your neighbors and friends, they bring food for you and for those people who come to your home to say sorry. Because that's how it is. I mean, after you have anyone of your family passed away, so the people, that's how they come and talk to you and help you to go out from what you are.
And I'm going to ask a delicate question,
okay.
Ali. Does this extend to foreigners who live within?
The same, yes, sure. Even if he's, let us say, sorry, even if he's not Muslim, but yes, he will be treated as one of the family there. And if you have any friends who used to live in some Arabic country, I am sure they will tell you their experience.
Yes, because we see, you know, Ali, we get such a negative vibe, don't we? I mean, you say, you know, Islam now with all this negative press that they go on. But in actual fact, the religion is quite the contrary,
me. I mean, if everybody follow the religion, I mean, everybody will live in peace and will be living great life. For example, if you are a millionaire and we have another one who doesn't have, I mean, just to eat in by the same day. So if that man kind enough or he give a charity for his money, because that's how the Islam teaches us to give a charity. There's a percent, you have to give it as a charity to clean your money.
Okay.
So the other, they will live a normal life and they will be happy. But
I know
these things, they are not existing.
We are humankind, and then that is always the same, isn't it?
But Arabic culture, it is there. For example, one of the things there is, we call, there's a person, the very famous person called Hatim al-Ta'i, who used to feed people who used to pass through his, where he used to live in a desert, and he has his own tent. And people come, and so he invited them for a meal. And the last thing he had, his horse. So he killed his horse to feed his guest. So we are saying it's like Akram min Hatim al-Ta'i. Means this person, he's giving more than that person who, I mean, gave the last thing he had, his horse. So that's something which is appreciated. But I mean, that's how supposed to be. So this culture, even, I mean, before Islam and after Arab, there is, by saying Arab, there is something behind it, which is they are all the time, they come to help each other.
They're supportive.
Supportive.
They're supportive. So for you, the word Arab is synonymous with support to each other. Absolutely. So, and with me, on a very fickle note, I associate it with couscous.
Yeah, and as a typical dish, I mean, especially in Maghreb area, Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, those areas, they prepare couscous. But in some other countries, Middle East, they prepare some other type of food. But they are known with sweets and desserts. I mean, you find every
area. Which is your favorite, Ali? Myself,
yes. Couscous.
The couscous.
And we have another typical dish in Libya. We call it bazine.
Bazine,
which is made of from the flower of feet.
Okay.
El Amah.
Okay.
You say it in Maltese.
Yes.
And it is a healthy. It's a bit heavy, but for example, now in our days, we are taking cereals and these things, and it is
a cereal,
sort of, but it is a typical dish. It's more a typical dish in Libya, it's a bazine, but there's al couscous, and there's another dish, it's ftat, which is made from, what is it, bread, but it is a very special bread, and prepared, I mean, homemade. You don't buy it from... You don't find it.
You were mentioning Libya to me, Ali.
But there is, for example, in Morocco, there is harira, which is a type of soup. In Syria, they have kibbeh.
Are your herbs and your spices different to what we find in Malta? Or are they similar?
No, they are similar.
It's just in the food preparation?
Yes, it's in the food preparation and the recipe, how you use them. And for example, here in Malta, as I heard, you know, you have fennec.
Yes, rabbit.
Rabbit, and yes. You prepare. In our country and most of Arab country, when you have guests and came to your house, the best thing to prepare. It is lamb meat. So
okay.
That's like you are, and normally we do kill that in our home. In our days now, in overheads, not anymore, because you have to quit to kill it in a butcher. I mean, for a guest who comes, so the first thing, you go and kill a lamb and prepare the meal.
You know what, Ali, it sounds very stressful to me. let me tell you, what? you support each other.
Uh-huh.
You work very hard for
each other. Yes.
It is a lot of care and attention.
Yes.
Extremely. It's wonderful. But, you know, from the other end, you have a lot of expectations, I suppose, to have to. It's almost hard work to be able to make sure that you always helping out, you always having, you know, going through this extra care.
For example, let me tell you from my experience during my something personal, I mean, but I'm going to mention it. In my wedding, I have friends came from Malta and they spent 1 week at my place, all of their accommodation. I mean, they were my guests and all of my relatives and my family, they were happy by having them there and things. So it is...
Okay.
It's a nice thing to share, I think.
It is wonderful.
But because maybe of the new life, so for example, I am talking from my experience in Malta, you find people busy with work, the wife work, the man work as well, so there is no one even who can take care of the guest at home or so. They have no time, but I am sure even Maltese, from my experience, they are very kind, helpful. I mean, I have my neighbors. They are helping me a lot whenever I am in need. They do
That's
help
nice
me.
To no, no, so if I have to go back to trying to do business in Libya, mm-hmm. Ali, what advice would you give me?
What advice I can give you? The first thing to learn
Arabic. Okay. Would it be okay for a woman to go out there and to do business?
For sure, why not?
These are preconceptions that people have.
No. I mean, in Arabic country, I mean, the woman, she can work, she can share everything. I mean, the only thing, maybe, I don't know, she had to be wearing an Islamic dress. I mean, protecting herself not from people to eat her. But normally, sorry to say it, I mean, if there is a lady walking the street, so Arab or non-Arab,
yes,
they
okay.
look to her and see what she's wearing. Or,
yes.
But if a woman covering herself, so there's nothing to see.
So it saves hassles.
Still, even if she came from England or from France, from America, from anywhere else, from Malta, and she's in Libya or in Algeria or in Tunisia or in Egypt.
They have no problems with so.
At all.
Okay. So
I mean, for sure you can ask as well. There are many people that are doing business over there, and they are.
No, but I meet a lot of students who are studying degrees and who are women who are following professional careers. Yeah. So
in fact, I have a friend of mine, his wife, she's coming to study over here in Malta. And the question he asked me is, my wife can go to university and she's still wearing our religious attire? I mean, for sure.
Yes.
No one asked her to move it. Sure, I mean,
it's a choice.
Yes, so it is the same. Over there, you can go as you are.
And it was interesting, this. A student told me this week, because of coincidence, that in Libya, when you are dressed in hijab, nobody notices you. But here in Malta, dressed like that, mm-hmm. they tend to notice you more.
Yeah, because for Malta, because she's rare. Over there, I'm not saying those who's not wearing hijab, they are rare, but we do have some who's wearing hijab and do not. But here in Malta, for example, because University of Malta, it's a small community. But even all over the Malta, it's small. So if you can see, you can notice if there is a lady wearing a hijab or not, she's an Arab.
Yes, and the student told me like this, she took it off her hijab, she said, like this nobody notices me. It works the other way around, it is strange. This was her argument. It was her argument. So we're looking at business. We're looking at Libya. And anything, maybe tempo of life, lifestyle, if I have to go, expectations to do business, what would I need to know?
No, I mean, now, that I mean, in Libya or anywhere else, I mean, in most of the world, they are looking for the high technology, the quality, the good service. So if anyone tending to go and do business anywhere, for example.
They're respected for the product that they produce.
I mean, you have to have good quality. So the quality control must be, I mean, don't bring back things and expect you are going to, because Libya or Morocco or Tunisia, third world country, okay, you can give them anything.
Far from it, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's far from it.
Yeah, so it's not anymore. It was. Not now, but now it's not anymore, because I mean, I am proud being Arabic, and I am proud being in Malta as well, because I studied over here for quite a long time, and they treated me as a Maltese, so as any international student. So what you give, you take, here or there.
Okay.
So for anyone, Maltese or non-Maltese, if he intending to do any business in any Arabic country, he has to give good quality and try to look for the things which they are not available over there. Because now there's a competition between all the companies.
Absolutely.
So, good service, this price. I mean, and I'm not into business, but it is, I mean,
yes,
that is.
And respect for the community. And
that's the first thing.
And respect for the community
and the social aspect.
And any little phrase that you want to teach me today, Ali? A little phrase, a little way of saying something. What could I say? I mean, inshallah means God willing, but it has a negative aspect, doesn't it?
Yeah, because now you are saying it because the things never be done, so inshallah.
Yes.
But anyway, for example,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Ana? Asifa.
Asifa. Okay, so Ali, I'm sorry, but we are soon going to close. So Ani Asafa, that we are soon going to finish our program. And you got for us some music today to listen to. Can you tell us a little bit about the music?
About the music, it is one of the typical music in Arabic.
Thank you so much, Ali, for coming to join us. That was Michelle from the International School of Languages. Thanks, Ali.
Thank you.